Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and a quick reminder that Digesting Politics is back for 2009. It's our weekly podcast where Andrea Bernstein, Bob Henley, and I discuss politics over lunch. In this week's edition, why Sotomayor will get in, why Anthony Weiner got out, and why Corzine is no Bloomberg. Digesting Politics is a web-only feature not heard on the radio. You can sign up for free at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, this Saturday at Hunter College, the 6th annual New York City Grassroots Media Conference, it asks, what next? After a 2008 election that saw YouTube, Facebook, blogs, and Twitter play a major role, not to mention newspapers, remember them, cable news, and even radio, the media landscape is as varied as ever. So the organizers of the conference want to know, how can people, especially young people, build on that momentum? The theme is From Hope to Action. And we welcome Jennifer Nedbalski, co-founder and organizer of the New York City Grassroots Media Coalition. Also with us, Giovanni Matto, editor-in-chief of The Word on the Street. That's a publication of the Youth Power Project at Make the Road New York, the activist group. They are one of the sponsoring organizations for this Saturday's conference. And we are also joined by, special treat, former WNYC radio rookie and continuing friend of WNYC, Vera Lynn Williams, who is still involved with youth media around the city. Welcome to all of you. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Good
morning. And this conference is very explicit in its desire to build upon what you see as momentum for grassroots organizing stemming from the 2008 elections. Jennifer, let me start with you. What were the main lessons from last fall?
Well, we saw an incredible increase in voter registration among communities of color, youth, and women. We saw a groundswell of community participation in the electoral process. And, you know, lots of people around the country just really legitimately wanted to see how can they help out and make their communities better. And we have a president who challenged us to literally make him care about these issues. He won't be able to do anything without popular support. So this is an opportunity for local grassroots organizations, activist groups, community groups to come together to strategize how to build off this momentum, how to make an impact, and how to make him care and everyone care about these issues.
Giovanni, was there any specific example of grassroots media that you found especially inspiring or effective during 2008? Was it Will.i.am's YouTube song about the Obama campaign or about Obama himself? Was it the off-the-cuff remarks from candidates that were immediately put online, raising money through Facebook? Anything in particular?
I believe that there were a lot of things that were said throughout the campaign that, I guess, riled a lot of people up. A lot of things that, you know, all the Republicans were saying about Obama. I believe that people were trying to get, I guess, tried to get more of a negative perception on Obama. And a lot of people from the communities that really did support Obama had stepped up, maybe to defend him, to, I guess, ask for the proof that there was something wrong that he was doing. And I just believe that everybody, I guess, stood up for what they believed in.
Vera Lynn, what were you watching in? Either journalism, I mean, we're really talking about two things. We're talking about journalism and we're talking about media activism.
Okay.
But certainly new technology changing the landscape in both fields last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's people that probably wouldn't have listened to your show or listened to different type of media. Like, Facebook was a great way for me to be like, oh, really? That's what X is saying? Well, this is what's really going on, and being able to just immediately shoot things out with facts or with other journalists that actually did the work. So I think, like, things like Facebook and Twitter and all these, like, social networking where young people could immediately participate and stuff like that definitely gave us a voice, definitely made us a part of the conversation that was going on.
So how do you take that to the next level, or how do you take it to, you know, a world that's not as either-or decision-driven as an election campaign?
Well, now that we know that, okay, well, our voice does make a difference because who's our president? So we use that for other issues that are important to us, you know. whether it's a tuition or, you know, now with this economy, I think that people are looking at the world like, well, hey, there's a process of how we can make a change. And they're with, and through the media and youth media and different social networking sites, you're able to make a difference, to participate.
All right. We're going to play a clip from the promotional video on the website of this New York City grassroots media conference. Let's listen.
It's not this atomized internet world where everyone's sitting at home alone typing on a keyboard. There's got to be a physical space where people can get together and work.
You step back from the wires and the computers and all of that. Step back from that for a second and say, internet, what is happening? You see, for the first time in history, 1.3 billion people are doing something in common, which is communicating.
And there's a lot in there that we could discuss. But, Jennifer, let's start with this notion of still needing a physical space. Vera was just talking about Facebook. How important is it to be collaborative and work with other media makers in person, not just creating media online from home?
Well, it's incredibly important, I think, for especially New York City organizations. This is a huge city, but it's in a pretty enclosed space, and we've got organizations all over the city working on similar campaigns that could really learn and benefit from working together. So we need a physical space to come together as community organizers, as people just affected by New York City policies and politics, and but also as media organizations. If you create media in a bubble without paying attention to what others are doing, you know, we don't want to duplicate resources. We want grassroots media to be accountable to the communities of New York City. And so this is an opportunity for organizations to come together and, you know, share their media, share their success stories, share their challenges, and in this economy, share resources and ideas for how we can really overcome this together.
So give me a very concrete example of that, because that's all so general. How do communities come together and share media? I mean, you know, it's all out there. It's on the web. It's in newspapers. It's whatever. What are you actually going to do on Saturday that, you know, that goes beyond people just sitting around and saying, gosh, we all have problems and we're all on the side of right and here we go.
Right. Well, there's many panels that bring together many different ethnic media communities. One of these workshops is called Ethnic Media as a Social Justice Advocate. And it brings together people from Asia Tribune, from World Journal, which is Chinese. Hi.
And Jennifer's got a visitor. So let me go on to Giovanni, let me ask you, what's the goal of your publication, Word on the Street?
Our goal is basically to give the youth the voice that they haven't had. A lot of people don't take...
Like about what? What's your favorite article from the last issue that you didn't write?
That I didn't write. Mainly immigration. Immigration. There's a lot of youth who deal with immigration. There's a lot of young high school students that I know who have to deal with a lot of immigration issues, students who can't get tuition to go into college. I mean, I've mm-hmm. had to see a lot of personal struggles of people who are trying to do the best they can with their lives, with the little bit that they're given, and they're receiving no help.
What's the last article that you wrote?
The last article I wrote was... maybe cliche, Obama's victory and the effect that it had in Bushwick, in the Bushwick community.
Tell me about it.
I believe that there are a lot of similarities to Obama's life growing up that is similar to things that I had growing up, and a lot of the people in the Bushwick community have went through single parents and living with grandparents and not being raised with a lot of money and poverty and just a lot of the mistakes that some young people make. But the fact that, I guess, he gives like a glimmer of hope that the people in my community haven't really seen.
And so what's the hope? Is it personal hope? Is it striving? Is it that you're asking for something specific from government or society that the people in the conditions you were just describing aren't getting? What is it you want?
All we want is our opinions to be heard. You know, we have a lot of things to say. Young people have a lot of things to say, and we just want to be heard. Yes.
Vera, what you been working on?
What haven't I been working on, Brian? Well, I mean, honestly, lately I've been, listening to, like, a lot of youth stories. I've been blogging about youth media, youth like this. I heard this great story on the how government jobs is like what young people that are graduating or seniors in college are thinking about these days because it's recession proof, and it's like Obama's making it that the next 4 years you'll definitely have a job. So like, we're thinking about stuff like this. Like, we're thinking analytically about how to survive. So just thinking about those ways as me, myself, you know, I just graduated and I'm just trying to figure out this whole thing called media and being a multimedia force. Because now, you know, I realize it's not just radio, it's not just television. You really have to be an expert at everything. So just juggling that. And
to be ready for the Obama funding, go out and buy yourself a shovel.
Yes.
I'm not sure how familiar any of you are with the Ghetto Film School, which is an organization in the Bronx that teaches kids how to make films. Joe Hall, the organizer of the Ghetto Film School, was here recently, and he talked a lot about the tension that exists in teaching art and media to kids in disadvantaged communities. That on the one hand, you're trying to give them a voice and an outlet, but at the same time, you also want to help them create great art, great movies, great videos. Here's what he said.
My background is in social work, so I know a lot about how these programs are structured. And I think it's very difficult to form a long-term relationship with people who want to be artists if you're basing it on something that is a cover for counseling or some other kind of deficit approach. And too often we see that in nonprofit funding and foundations who say it's an arts program, but it's really a therapeutic model or an intervention, and I think it feeds into a lot of larger things.
So Jennifer Neblansky, as the organizer of this grassroots media conference at Hunter College this Saturday, how do you react to that? I mean, what he's saying in essence is that lots of so-called media initiatives in disadvantaged communities are really covers for social work or other types of engagement, and in his opinion, the goal should be to teach kids how to make great films, to do great art, to do great, to do great works of journalism.
Hmm.
Do you see that as a tension?
I understand where he's coming from, but I think also youth on their own don't necessarily have all of the resources to make and produce their own media to get their voices out there. And sure, if learning is part of the process and growing, all of us as we make media grow and learn and are counseled by what we learn from other people in the process. I see where he's coming from with the tension, but the way we see it is, you know, the youth track at the Grassroots Media Conference has been huge since its start in 2004. It's, you know, we just see young people are so powerful when they have the opportunity to get their hands on a camera, and, you know, when adult allies can help put them in the right place to get their voices heard, to have distribution models for their work.
Vera Lynn, you're going to get the last word here today. And there's a school of thought that says the only way to understand the way in which mainstream media works is by making your own media. And coming through Radio Rookies, I think you had the experience of that, that once you pick up a camera or start to edit a news piece, you realize that everything is a choice, that nothing's by accident, and that everything has its own bias. So how much is getting kids to make their own work about having them understand the media environment in which they live, or is it just about getting them to express themselves?
I was thinking when I heard that that's like saying that everybody that comes to these you know different things know that they want to be journalists or know that they can make a difference. And I feel like that's completely not the case. Like, I didn't know that I would be so into radio. I thought radio was just commercial radio. I had no idea about public radio. So I definitely think it's about figuring out that you do have power, like the mic does have power. And, you know, and I feel like through Radio Rookies, I'm an example of what coming into a community where young people usually don't have access to the media and giving them access, what that can be.
All right. So, Jennifer, on the way out the door, just tell people who might want to attend this conference Saturday at Hunter College, the 6th Annual New York City Grassroots Media Conference. How can they get more information?
For more information, they can go to nycgrassrootsmedia.org or call 347-706-2489. That's 347-706-2489. And registration, we have recession pricing. So registration is $10 or pay as what you can. And we really look forward to seeing everyone out there.
Jennifer Nedbalski, co-founder and organizer of the NYC Grassroots Media Coalition. Giovanni Matto, editor-in-chief of The Word on the Street. and former WNYC radio rookie, Vera Lynn Williams. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Good luck on
Saturday and beyond. And coming up in just a minute, we will delve into the world of invented languages from Esperanto to Klingon. Stay tuned.